Sure, let me take notes from Mike Jensen on moderation.
Rude. Hi, Elise Castle.
Oh, wow, we're starting. Hey, Mike Jensen. Yeah.
So we are here today to discuss Critical Condition.
Mary Testa.
Yeah, exactly. This originally debuted August 25th. Happy birthday to me. 2002.
How old were you then?
I was 43. I'm just kidding. I was 25. So I bet I had a brunch.
Is that what you did in your 20s?
I feel like that's what you do in your 20s. You're like, it's my birthday. Let's have brunch. In just that tone. Yeah. I feel like I actually sort of remember having a brunch because this would have been on a Sunday. And I can't think of the name of the place, but it was like a sort of famous-ish place. I'm going to think on it and see if I can remember it.
Where was it?
I want to say like the 20s, like, you know, not quite Chelsea, sort of.
Spice Market.
Something like that. I feel like it actually maybe had a B in it. I'm not going to be able to think of it. All I can think of is like Barbacoa.
Oh, Babbo?
I think that might have been it.
With Mario Batali?
Yeah, I think that was it. I think I had a brunch there for
my
birthday.
That's on like 8th Street.
Whatever, I don't care.
Babbo. That's a pizza place.
It wasn't that.
Right?
But it was something like that.
We're not... Let's just keep going.
This is
Balthazar.
No.
Budokan.
That's closer, but that's not it.
Burger King.
Burger King. That's what it was. So this was written by Alexa Jung, perhaps? J-U-N-G-E.
Jung, like Carl Jung?
Yeah, I believe so. She wrote one of the funniest ever episodes of Friends, called The One Where Everybody Finds Out. Really, really good stuff. She also wrote on The West Wing and more recently Grace and Frankie. This is her only episode of Sex and the City. Directed by MPK, we have our DVD recap. Why do we believe our worst reviews? Carrie wonders how the press will review her book and finds herself doing an about face when she runs into Aiden's ex-girlfriend and discovers that people are also reviewing her past relationships. Having met Bunny in her bedroom, Charlotte decides to meet Bunny in court. Miranda continues to grapple with her lack of experience as a mother, and Samantha finds herself in an unlikely role of babysitter, but invents the perfect baby soother.
Ew.
That's a lot. That's an interesting one there. So, in the life of a New Yorker.
There are several unpleasant things one will inevitably have to face. Having your purse stolen, random public urination.
I've never done it. But I do know girls that have.
Okay. I was thinking more of like seeing others.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't faze me.
I remember once like getting back from a vacation and like the day that I was back, turning a corner and a guy was peeing in a phone booth and being like, I'm back in New York.
2 weeks ago, you and I were walking to get nachos at like 9:30. And remember that guy was like just peeing on 51st Street? We were like, oh, I guess it's that time.
I guess so. It's peeing in public time. And yeah, a gay friend's boyfriend's performing in a cabaret.
Starring Mary Testa.
Mary Testa. They give her an actual different name in this. I'm kind of like, why couldn't
Debbie
she,
Cass.
Yeah, she couldn't just be Mary Testa, I guess.
It makes sense.
I mean, I get it.
I mean, Mary Testa is like the queen.
Yeah, currently represented on Broadway.
Yeah, no, she is currently Aunt Eller in the Great Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And also that, like, they're talking about seeing your friend's boyfriend's cabaret, and, like, I can see why there's a 3-drink minimum. Number one, I would pay a 3-drink minimum to see Mary Testa. Like, I know it's Debbie Cass and it's the whole idea, but settle down, Carrie. But also, that 3-drink minimum thing is real. Like, when your friends are like, I'm doing this show, it's only $4.
Yeah, admission is almost nothing. And then you get there and it's like, plus three $16 drinks.
Right. And I remember one time going to 54 Below and I had to buy like an artisanal wedge salad because I was like, I'm not going to drink like four. I don't think they have a 3-drink minimum. I think
it's a money minimum.
It's like a money minimum. Yeah. So I got this like,
which I actually prefer,
deconstructed wedge. Yeah. Oh, totally. And someone was singing the music that makes me dance. And while they were finishing their last note, the server poured a full tray of drinks on a person at my table. And
oh,
it was
wow.
such a great moment. It was like, his is the only music. I was like, ah! It was great. So yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah, so she's singing all that jazz, which this is kind of, I guess, the funny moment because the guy who plays Marcus was in the musical Chicago dancing to all that jazz.
Right.
Which I just got on Blu-ray today.
Mike just got it on
Blu-ray
today.
Literally just opened it. That's fun. So yeah, then we kind of get to Machiko Kakutani.
She's the Times book critic.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting an appetizer.
Who is she? Yeah, was Times, she really a Times book
reviewer? She was really
reviewer?
The Times book reviewer. Very, very controversial.
Why?
Because she was considered tough.
Okay.
And she gave kind of harsh reviews. She would sometimes review things in the voice of other people.
Kind of similar to the theater critic, Help Me, I'm on Cold Medicine.
Ben Bradley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it's like harsh, where you're just like, you have no idea.
She was known to be very tough.
You guys, I'm sorry. I bought an allergy cold medicine, and I don't do well with medication, so I don't know where I am.
I like that they're bringing us home, and he can kick. He really can kick.
Yeah, he can kick.
Quite the kick. And Carrie has to go to the ladies' room. Mm-hmm. We have an overhead toilet shot. I just thought the direction of the camera was kind of hilarious. Oh, we're, like, looking down on people sitting on a toilet. I'm going to confess something right now. This was the hardest episode to take notes on that I've ever done.
Really?
I don't know why. I literally got to this point in the episode yesterday, and I'd seen it before, but I was having such a hard time taking notes that I stopped.
Oh, see, I took a lot. I feel like I took notes on the, like, just wrote everything that was happening. So,
okay, well, that's probably good for us. Yeah, I don't know why I was having a really hard time, like, focusing on what I wanted to talk about. So let's see how it goes.
Let's break this down, Mike. What's going on in your life?
I don't know. I literally had to, I was like, I can't write anymore about this. Like, I don't, it was a very odd experience. It went a little bit better today.
Okay.
But anyways,
well, do you ever have that experience as a tall person in a bathroom stall that when you stand up before, well, you don't sit or squat unless you're puping, but when you stand up that you're like, I can see over the top of this stall and this is awkward.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
sometimes I'm like, this door doesn't cover me. So yeah, they're in the bathroom stall and they overhear people talking about there's no guys. Well, we're gonna
cruise the cube pretzel guys at the Village Square Market. Oh. Is that as sad as that just sounded?
So then at the sink, the ladies are like, Carrie Bradshaw, and the one lady's like, I read your column and I went out with Aiden.
Yeah, I wrote she dated Aiden right after Carrie did, and she's a terrible person.
That's she's like
so rude. Yeah, like the face faces, she makes. Yeah. To make that face, can you imagine if I was like, oh, I saw you in a show? Like, that's so rude, and that's just about a show. That's not even about someone's relationship.
I mean, I guess the only way to say it, if it would be, like, something that everyone knew about. You know, where if it was, like, a show that, like, never happened, and it was like, oh, I got tickets to that.
It propels the story, but, like, this lady's rude.
I'm telling you, it was a hit and run. No. It was a face and run.
Sam is very tan.
She is, and she's, like, doing, like, the frosted lipstick.
Frosted lipstick, real straight hair, and very tan.
It's very summery.
Yeah, the face and run, and Charlotte wonders if it's Bell's palsy, which is a real thing. I knew someone in college who had Bell's palsy. It just, you wake up one day, and half of your face doesn't move, and it goes away, usually, but there's nothing you can really do about it.
Cray.
And it's caused by stress, I think, sometimes.
Well, now I'm stressed about that.
Yeah, I could be wrong that that's the only thing, or that that's what causes it, but yeah.
Only because I knew where this storyline was going. This is an example of maybe not prepping a storyline as well as you could have, because Miranda's had really nice hair this whole season.
I don't have time to have a shower, much less get a haircut.
Yeah.
And suddenly her hair is like just a disaster.
Yeah, and fuck that fucking face, girl. I love that Miranda's just mad and tired. And I wrote, when she says, I haven't slept for days, she looks it like they were like, oh shit, we have to make her look like a mom.
Yeah, exactly. She's been looking too good for the last couple episodes.
Yeah, they refer to the baby as the 13-pound meatloaf.
Yeah, and pushing her over the edge. And in the middle of this, Samantha has to confirm her appointment with John Mandy at the John Mandy Salon.
Now, when she did this, when she was confirming her appointment with John Mandy, which is not a real thing, right? The John Mandy Salon?
I don't think so.
Okay. When she was doing that, I was thinking, I wonder when she confirms it if she's gonna say, actually, a Miranda Hobbs will be taking my place. Like, I thought she was gonna give her that appointment.
No, we haven't evolved quite that far.
Right, but
yet.
I thought so. So I should have written for this show.
Charlotte is meeting with Matthew Bloom, a
Bloom and
lawyer.
Goldenblatt.
I do like it in this world. Like, I guess all lawyers know each other.
Miranda's yeah, I
like,
don't know.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
But I feel like you have a friend who's a lawyer.
And she does know a lot of
lawyers. Yeah, because when I was doing jury duty, she was like, oh, who did you, because I was telling her how, like, at the end of jury duty, the lawyers, like, talk to you and they want to talk to you. And she was like, oh, who was it? Like, so that could be a thing.
Yeah, it could be accurate.
And when Charlotte was sitting down, she has, like, a ruffled white collar. And then she stands up and you notice that it's a ruffled white collar on this red blouse. And it's, like, a sexy olive oil costume for Popeye.
So we get to Charlotte at the...
Yes.
Basically, Charlotte's lawyer is her type. What I wrote. And he is also very
immediately
handsome,
when you,
like,
said that, I was like, that is a combination of Trey and Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was smart, tough, and gorgeous.
I only really wrote Victor Brown is the actor that plays this character, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I sort of, like, clicked on his IMDb credits, and his very first one that pops up, like, his very top credit, is he played Michael Jensen in a movie called Remember Me. Actually, that was funny. I was like, oh.
Oh my gosh. That was a character.
He was also in a movie called Christmas Trade that ended up not being the hot porn that it sounded like.
I was going to say, Mike! He played Mike Jensen in Christmas Trade. There's an Elise Castle in Harlequin romance novels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, I have, like, Google alerts set up because I'm a self-centered person, an actor, and occasionally that'll happen.
Yeah, so. There's a Michael Jensen, or like a Mike Jensen that's a reporter somewhere, I think.
Also, Mike, someone gave United Airlines Mike Jensen's phone number.
It was very bizarre.
So he keeps getting these texts that are like, Mike, your flight to Aruba.
It was from Aruba. I was coming from Aruba to New York.
I just kept asking him to bring me a souvenir.
It was very strange. I just wrote, I don't know what to say about this scene.
Yeah, like that we find out that Bunny is hiding assets.
Just to make sure that Charlotte doesn't get anything. And then Charlotte doesn't want to be rude because she's trying to impress her lawyer. I'm kind of like, just decide that this is like the one hot guy that you're not going to marry. Or like,
right.
I don't
and
know.
Like,
it's,
also,
it's a lot.
Does Charlotte want stuff from Trey or does she just want that
she
apartment?
She just wants the apartment.
And then we meet Harry Goldenblatt, who isn't happy with the bagel work.
Who the hell ordered blueberry bagels?
He doesn't like a blue. Who doesn't like a blueberry bagel?
I don't.
Oh, I love a blueberry bagel.
I remember one time someone was telling me there used to be one of those make your own salad places and they would use the bagels and toast them, the stale bagels and toast them to make the croutons, which is perfectly acceptable. But sometimes they would toast the blueberry bagels and throw them in there.
That's ridiculous.
No, and they said it was a really cool surprise. Like it was a good surprise.
Yeah, this is, Evan Handler. I don't know how much to talk about him.
Dear Evan Handler.
Very good.
Why don't you know how to talk about him?
He was on The West Wing for a few episodes. Okay. Californication is his biggest credit.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about it too much, I guess. But yeah, there you go.
That's usually what Mike says when he means we're going to see this character again.
Yeah, Charlotte changes lawyers. She's going to go with Harry.
Harry. And then we cut to Samantha.
Who got everything waxed.
Yeah, she got everything waxed, but she also has that foot. Like jewelry.
Okay.
It's like a Y necklace for your foot.
Samantha decided to reward herself with a night of R&R.
And her vibrator broke. But doesn't she have a full drawer of vibrators?
But this is her favorite vibrator. And when it breaks, she throws a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit silly. And I guess I get that it's like to bridge us to the next. She's like, my vibrator broke. And, yeah, whatever. She throws a tantrum. But it's all to lead us into the next scene where Brady is also crying.
And
Miranda's frustrated and the bell rings.
And she's talking to him like, Brady, I can't read your mind. Well, Brady can't talk.
Yeah. It's a lot, you know.
Who is it? 4D.
Kendall, Lisa Gay Hamilton is this actress. She's probably best known for The Practice.
I have a baby, too. And if you ever bothered to say hello in the elevator, you would know that. I'm Kendall. My baby is Alika. Have a nice night.
I just don't buy this scene.
Yeah.
Like, this woman shows up to
who
be...
Who we've never seen
we've
before.
Who we've never seen, who is just there to be like, your baby needs to stop crying, and then gets mad at her. I just don't buy this scene.
That she's never said hi. I mean, I've lived in the same place for 11 years, and there's people that I say hi to, but I don't know their names.
Yeah, I think this is a bit much. I think this scene is whatever. So Carrie's up early to buy the Times... Yeah, we get it. First, we get our little moment of public urination.
I enjoyed spending time in Ms. Bradshaw's sharp, funny, finely drawn world where single women rule and the men are disposable. Ouch.
Carrie, I believe what you have there is a rave review from the New York Times.
Miranda's like, Carrie, I have to pretend to be a lawyer. And I couldn't tell at this moment if Miranda's hair is supposed to be wet or like that greasy.
I said, Miranda only slept for an hour, so she forgot how to brush her hair.
Yeah.
What is she doing? She's, like, tapping her head. If anyone watches 30 Rock, there's a scene where, like, Liz Lemon is doing a promo, and they're like, wave. No, with your hands. Do you remember waving? And that's what this felt like to me. Of like, no, brush your hair.
I mean, she is probably I'm sure that having... I mean, having a child is extremely difficult, and I'm sure she is so tired.
Do you think that Aiden thinks that I think he was disposable?
Carrie, you did not throw Aiden away.
Well,
that girl thinks I did, he must have said something like that to her. Where else would she get it?
Steve and Aiden are close. Has Steve ever said anything to you?
Yeah, Magda also has arrived in this moment, and Miranda kind of, like, breaks down.
Wait,
I
love when Miranda is talking to Carrie, and she's like, oh, sorry, I fell asleep for a second, because this happened to me 2 days ago. I was walking home from work, and I was on the phone with my mom, and we're having a conversation, and then she's quiet, and I'm like, Mom? She goes, sorry, I was beating a necklace. I'm like, what? She's like, I fell asleep, and in my dream, I was beating a necklace. It's like, you fell asleep for 5 seconds. She goes, I know. I sat at the kitchen table, and I was beating a necklace.
I worked
very hard at taking care of Aiden's feelings. Will you mention that to Steve? Because
if Aiden told Steve that
Carrie, you know what?
Maybe you should call your girlfriend Samantha.
She has all kinds of time to talk about this kind of stuff. Look, I know it's me, and I'm jealous of her free time and all, but if she could maybe just once acknowledge the fact that I've had a baby.
Yeah, Carrie asks if she can help Miranda, which Miranda says is helpful.
But wait, I love, though, that Magda's, like, first, like, listening in, and then Miranda shuts the door, and then when Miranda opens the door, Magda's been just standing there listening. Like, I just love that Magda has to know everything. Yeah, we find out that Miranda's also mad at Samantha. Because, like, she realizes that Samantha has not acknowledged yet that she's had a baby.
Right.
And then that's when Carrie says, like, is there anything I could do to help? And Miranda says, well, just doing that is helpful. And I wrote down, well, Mrs. Cohen knows Carrie, because she was saying, do you know your neighbors? And
like, I did have that thought, yeah, but she's like, not a neighbor anymore.
Well, yeah, she bought out her apartment. Yeah. She didn't know her before. Yeah, then we get to the question. When it comes to life and love, why do we believe our worst reviews? Which is so true.
Absolutely.
And 100%. I keep saying this, like, as we approach season 5, my life is aligning with Sex and the City. Like, it's weird. I don't know what I'm putting out in the universe, but last week on the podcast, I was saying that I had a terrible audition, and I had been talking to everyone that day about how I really need to reevaluate everything I've taught in life, not even when it comes to being like a performer, just everything in life. And then yesterday, I had an amazing audition, and now I think I'm really on the right track. So it's just, it's so true.
Well, that's more you just believing your latest review.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? But like, if I had a terrible audition today, that great audition yesterday would mean nothing to me.
Right. Yeah, no, we definitely hear the negatives. I mean, there's a somewhat famous Madonna quote where she talks about if 100 people say something nice about it and one person says something bad, she's only going to hear the one thing. And that's very true. That's just, I don't know why our brains are that way. We're kind of inclined to believe the worst.
I've never had a bad review, mostly because the type of parts I do are, like, very small and funny. So, you know, but I have had a review once that called me Zoftig.
I love that
which
word.
Which Mike loves, which just means like soft.
So we get to Carrie and Samantha at City Bakery.
I love City Bakery.
I'm not sure that I've ever been.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I have. It's near Union Square.
Yeah,
right?
It's on, I want to say like 17th or 18th. They do a hot
You know where you kind of can't find out where a good place to go to not find out where they're located? Huh. Their weirdly, vaguely infuriating website.
City Bakery?
Yeah, just check it out.
Okay.
It's the weirdest website where, like, you can click and there's a whole essay on why we like bakeries. And there's another one where you can... It's just the weirdest...
It's on 18th Street.
Okay.
And also, I feel like Birdbath Bakery has... is a part of City Bakery, but
yeah,
I could
be
wrong.
They reference that as well.
So City Bakery, not only is their website confusing, but if you ever go in there, so the actual bakery part of it is in the center of the bakery. It's a very large space.
Yeah.
And you have to like walk around and like ask for, it's not as easy as you think. They also
really
do, I think it's in February, but they do a hot chocolate like festival where they do all the different types of hot chocolate. But City Bakery is delicious. So we're talking about the brownies. Apparently, they have the best brownie in town. So immediately, my mind went to, okay, next time, City Bakery brownie. And they're talking about Miranda's baby. And Carrie's acknowledging that, like, maybe Samantha should acknowledge that Miranda's had a baby. And I love that Samantha says, I don't like babies. And from what I've heard, this one's an asshole.
You can't call a baby an asshole.
Why not? She called it a meatloaf.
I don't think it would kill all of us to be a little more supportive.
Maybe you could just stop by tomorrow and say, I hear you had a baby. How's that going?
Carrie, I have no time. I'm booked all day.
Hair and a vibrator.
Yes, that is my life and I don't have to justify it. I hate it when people have babies and they suddenly expect you to turn into some kind of Norman Rockwell painting.
We're not talking about people. We're talking about our friend, and she's sinking.
You cannot like babies, but when your friend has one, you have to be supportive.
Yeah, I have that all the time, where I'm like, ugh, people and their children. But I don't mean that when I'm with my friends with their children. I'm like, no, you guys are fine.
Right.
Yeah, Carrie gets spotted.
By Julia from Vogue.
This actress has a lot of work in South Africa.
Oh, this is my friend, Nina. I'm here.
Yeah, she's friends with Nina, and Nina is Starvation Central, and I hate her.
Is Nina Katz a real person, no, or is that an actress playing Nina Katz?
Yeah, it's okay. An actress playing Nina Katz. Yeah, Nadia Dejani.
Okay.
She, I suppose, sort of ironically, will go on to play Carrie Bradshaw's father's girlfriend on The Carrie Diaries.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
she's also, I want to point out real fast, she was in a sitcom, a very short-lived sitcom, called Emily's Reasons Why Not. We'll get back to that later.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's a booker with SNL.
Great. That face will be all over Vogue. Not to mention SNL. Nina Katz loves to talk.
And now Carrie needs a brownie.
Can we talk about their totals at City Bakery were pretty expensive for 2002.
I think that big brownie pushes it over the edge.
No, but, like, well, I mean, $15, $16 for lunch and a brownie. Just, I feel like at this, you know, in that time, it would have been under 10, but who knows?
No, I can see it. Like a big salad. I'm sure that salad, I mean, even back in the day, that salad was at least like $9. And the brownie was probably another $3 or $4. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking when we were doing this camera work, what sex shop is across from Bergdorf Goodman on Fifth Avenue? And they're at Sharper Image. Is that where the Apple store is now? Like the Apple store in FAO Schwartz used to be?
Oh, right there. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, I don't know if that's where this is, if they were just doing the camera shot there. But
I also wonder, this is like a Weight Watchers thing for me. Like, what input did Sharper Image have on this?
Once again, they're not doing anything. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure Sharper Image sold tons of neck massagers. But that thing that Samantha has is clearly a vibrator. Yeah. Like, that is, like, the iconic, like, OG vibrator. You know what I mean? Like, that design and everything.
Sure.
That's not a vibrator. It's a neck massager.
No, it's a vibrator.
Sharper Image doesn't sell vibrators.
I could understand if Samantha brought in anything else almost to the Sharper Image of them being, like, a neck massager. But that thing is, like,
It's
like bringing in like a clear dildo to William Sonoma and being like, you mean the mortar and pestle? Is that what it's called? Or like, you mean the muddler? And she's like, no, it's a dildo. She's like, you mean the cocktail muddler? Like, anyway, so then she goes to the section where all the neck massagers are.
Yeah.
There's tons of women there.
Just hanging out.
Hanging out, looking for vibe. Why aren't these women just at a sex shop?
Maybe they're trying to be respectable.
Fine, but they're all there. And then
we go on a vibrator tour.
Yeah. And Samantha's saying, like, that one will burn your clit off. And she goes, even in underwear?
Even with ski pants.
I wish that the actress that has no lines was credited. Because I don't know who she is and she looks really familiar. Mm. There's a woman standing there with sort of long hair, like grayish hair. And she's so familiar, but she's not credited, so I don't know who she is.
Everyone, put those Jessica Fletcher hats back on.
Yeah, if anyone recognizes her, let me know. Yeah, Miranda's back with the asshole baby.
Just crying.
Yeah, Candle's at the door with an oscillating chair.
I brought you something. Well, it belongs to Alika. An oscillating chair. It helps.
And says it's a controversial chair.
Yeah, I think it's mostly controversial. You have to place it on the floor.
Okay.
Because it vibrates, I think people were placing it on like a table or a chair and it was like vibrating off of the surface.
Yeah, and there's
I don't think it's as big of a deal. I mean, choking hazards, I feel like everything has a choking hazard.
Right.
But I think that that's the main controversy
and
there.
And then she says, Miranda, you're not a bad mother. You just didn't have the chair.
Yeah, basically tells her that she's screwed because her friends don't have kids. Which I think is just that thing of like, if you have no one around you who knows what you're going through, it doesn't matter how supportive your friends are.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of need someone who knows what's happening and, like, knows where you are.
Yeah. All of my girlfriends from back home have kids. And, you know, I know that they have a special bond because of that. Yeah. Like, I don't have kids. I just have Mike Jensen.
So a man, Samantha arrives and does what you thought she was going to do.
Yep, I wrote, called it. You have an appointment at the John Mandy Salon with John Mandy at 5:30.
I'm counting to 5 and then I'm changing my mind.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You want to babysit?
5, 4.
Okay.
She's like, okay, the numbers are on the fridge. I would maybe do this with Charlotte. I would maybe do this with Carrie, but with Samantha,
I think it's fine. Like, it's, I know, a but baby. Like,
you don't know if Samantha knows if she, Samantha's just gonna leave and be like, "You're in the chair. I guess it's fine.
I think you're safe. You can't get out of there."
Yeah,
yeah. Samantha's gonna babysit, and then the chair stops working.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to Carrie eating cherries and watching Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I was just kind of like resentful at Carrie in this moment because I had just finished eating Ben and Jerry's chocolate therapy. And Carrie's sitting there with cherries, and I felt fat-shamed.
She calls Samantha to see if she thinks Nina is talking about her to celebrities.
Do you think Nina Katz is telling random celebrity hosts that I'm the bad breakup girlfriend?
Gwyneth Paltrow or Ian McKellen.
Sir Ian McKellen.
They didn't say sir, but I thought it.
Oh, did they not say sir? No. I just automatically add that in my mind.
Yeah, and I was thinking, who's Gwyneth Paltrow? But I know who Mary Testa is.
Samantha thinks that throwing toys at the baby might work. She, like, semi-juggles, but, like, with one hand and just, like, kind of throws the toys. And basically, a second friend tells Carrie that her problems are stupid.
Carrie, maybe Charlotte has the time to talk about this kind of stuff. I have a screaming baby on my hands.
And Miranda returns, and Samantha has rigged the chair.
Her hair looks good.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, she just got a haircut.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Is everything okay?
Oh, absolutely. The chair thing broke, but, you know, shit happens.
The chair broke?
There's just the vibrator chilling in the chair behind Brady, and Brady has that, like, shit-eaten grin on his face.
That better be brand new.
So we get to the next day at the lawyer's office, and Bunny is offering the coin collection.
Yeah.
Mrs. McDougal is willing to offer her son's collection of mint-condition silver buffalo coins.
Can we get off the coin collection? She's not going to settle for a coin collection.
Bunny loves a hair bow.
She does.
She has, like, Thomas Jefferson hair right now, where it's, like, pinned lightly back with a hair bow.
And Bunny sort of hushes her lawyer in order to tell Charlotte off.
You, my dear, took a vow. And when things didn't go your way, you simply broke that vow. I come from a generation of women that valued marriage. We believed in for better or for worse, not for better or until the road gets rocky.
Charlotte couldn't fight anymore. It seemed to her she'd been fighting for this marriage forever.
And I don't know. Charlotte's very strange in this episode to me. Like, she's then just sort of defeated. And I guess it's going back to the theme of believing your worst reviews. And in this moment, she does maybe think to herself, I was a bad wife, or my marriage did not last, and it's my fault.
But then sometimes, when you least expect it, you get a rave, and the rave may be coming from 1912.
from the Titanic before it sank.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Trey McDougal hurried off a telegram.
Charlotte York was a wonderful wife. Stop. She did nothing wrong. Stop. Give her everything she wants. Stop. Seriously, Mother. Stop.
And just like that, Charlotte gets the apartment.
Just the apartment.
I'll have papers drawn up so Mrs. McDougal can transfer the deed.
And then we cut to Carrie and Steve on the stoop.
Yeah, Carrie and Steve on the stoop. And basically, like, how does Aiden feel about me?
Ah, jeez, no. I mean, you're not gonna try to get back together with him again, are you?
No, but that pretty much answers any question I had about how you feel.
Steve is still playing basketball.
I like her. She's like, Steve, the ball.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, he's great now. He couldn't get out of bed for a month.
He lost his ability to open up and trust women.
He said that to you? No, of course not. Guys don't talk like that. His ex-girlfriend Nina said it. So we're back to Nina again.
Nina sucks.
Which, of course, means that Carrie has to go confront Nina at the Village Market. So they're actually at it's called Abington Square.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8th Bank, Hudson, and 12th.
Yeah.
It's surrounded by, it's a very small
park. I know exactly where it is.
Yeah. And then basically Stanford is just tired of talking about Aiden.
Yeah.
What do you think of Marcus?
Nice. I mean, relationships are complicated. You can't reduce them to a face. I know that Aiden has feelings.
Stop. I am done. I've listened to you talk about Aiden for, what, 10 blocks and 2 years? And I've been a wonderful audience. And I ask you about my Marcus, and all I get is nice?
But I love Stanford in a relationship. He's wearing many prints right now. And he says, I've been listening to you for 10 blocks in 2 years. Yeah. So we know it's been a while, like, yeah, in Sex and the City. And I love this. He's just like, shut up and let me talk about being happy for once.
Right. And he wants more than nice. And I'm kind of like, nice is all that I really got from Marcus, too. But I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
And this is the example. I don't know if you remember this. There was the episode where Stanford and Carrie go to a party.
Hi, Charlotte. Nice apartment. Can I get you something to drink?
Yes, immediately, if not sooner.
And I mentioned in that episode that either we heard that quote before or we're going to hear it again, and this is where it is.
Okay.
Come on, your opinion means a lot to me. You're my Machiko Kakamatsu.
So now what? You want me to review your relationship?
Immediately, if not sooner.
Long time for a callback to happen, but there it is.
Or they were just like, I guess we can use that line again.
Yeah. And they run into Nina with Heather Graham.
Supermodel.
She's an actress. I mean, she was, okay, she had a short running sitcom called Emily's Reasons Why Not.
Oh!
Yeah, so it's sort of funny that, like, they're friends in this episode, and, like, 4 years later,
yeah,
they did a sitcom together for, like, 7 episodes. Yeah, Heather does the face.
Oh, sorry, Heather. This is Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie Bradshaw, really?
Mm. Yeah. That's a lot. And then Carrie asks to talk to Nina alone. Stanford offers to buy Heather Graham a pretzel, and there's a bad carb joke.
Hey, give me one.
A man or a pretzel. Whatever has less carbs, right?
And then, yeah, Carrie tries to explain breakups to Nina. It's a weird conversation that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
I get the sense that you have a sort of feeling about what happened with Aiden, and I just want to clear something up. Breakups are awful, and they are private, and they are not necessarily symptomatic of what two people had together.
But I think it goes nowhere because Carrie realized she wasn't worried about Nina Katz, but she was worried about me, which is true. I mean, there's a lot of times in life when, like, it's like, am I saying this or doing this because I need to hear it or you need to hear it?
I feel like this is a reoccurring theme of, like, we believe the worst things and we are our harshest critic.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's definitely true.
But I think Carrie needed to say out loud, like, I loved Aiden.
Right.
Now, let's be honest, like, Carrie didn't handle it the best way. And I also, you know, going back to when she's talking to Steve, like, did she think Aiden was just going to be fine?
Yeah, but I think it's that idea of knowing that you caused someone so much pain that they were never able to love again, which I think is what she's thinking in her mind with right. Nina. But, you know, it's just the next relationship. Aiden's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, life goes on. And there you go. Yeah, Stanford and Heather had nothing to talk about.
Nope.
So I said, have you ever been to Bavaria?
I love
it. They make
that
good pretzels there? There?
Yeah. Okay. I wonder if this part was improv.
It felt a little improv-y. I wondered about that, too.
Speaking of wondering, I couldn't help but wonder.
How a person would be so bold as to be like, oh, I dated that guy right after you did. Like, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a good one because we didn't talk about it in the episode. I couldn't help but wonder what all of those mothers with babies were doing.
We totally skipped that.
Yeah.
After a long day in court, Miranda faced another jury.
I didn't write much about it.
All
but
those
I wrote
mothers with babies just, like, sitting in the lobby. And, like, this is after Miranda has had this conversation with 4D. So why didn't she say, hey, ladies, I'm Miranda and this is Brady?
I wrote one sentence about this scene. I wrote, Miranda faces the mean moms, and I don't buy this scene.
No.
I don't buy this scene at all. You have, like, 7 mothers watching her struggle and just, like, mean-girling her. Yeah, that.
Maybe they're all sitting there being like, oh, there's that lawyer who doesn't introduce us to her baby. But you know what? Let's be really nice to her and give her a chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they gave her that broken chair on purpose.
Maybe. Like, that chair's going to break at just the right
time.
Anyway, that's all.
I hope Miranda buys another one.
I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
It'll all be fine.
Or do they still make them? Because it's controversial.
I think they still make them to this day. I looked it up.
I think now they make them, but they, like, kind of go around.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Let's get a salad.
I'm hungry.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for The Big Journey. Right?
What?
Isn't she in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying like someone is playing her on Broadway, and I was like, no. What? Every day I dit. That's from Titanic the musical.
Okay.
It's the Telegram song. Yeah, a telegram, very 1912. He's like, mother, stop.
Yeah.
Charlotte was a wonderful wife and did something wrong. Stop.
Did nothing wrong. She nothing did something wrong.
Yeah.
So they did have a green market of some kind.
Yeah, they still
interesting.
Do.
Interesting. All right, so I'm wrong.
So maybe it was called the Village Square. Yeah, they have an Abingdon Square green market. You're an asshole. Yes.